WXYT Detroit AM 1270 presents Weinberg on the Law. The following is a paid presentation of the Legal Line Network. Opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views of WXYT and CBS Radio. Here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Good morning, America. Another beautiful Sunday morning here in Metro Detroit. Can't tell you how excited I am to be here again today. Here with Ben, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. Mainly, I'd swear, one of the main things that's going on, we touched about it last week, is what I told you was going to happen, and that, well, I hate to tell you, I told you so, that Justice John Paul Stevens is going to be retiring after so many years, 34 years on the bench in the Supreme Court, 89 years old, and we are going to be giving our new president a just remarkable type of influence on our country, something that will far outlast anything he does. You think this health care thing, you think this bill, whatever form it takes, is going to have the major influence on our country for years to come? I'm telling you, that thing can change. The Democrats and Republicans over the years are going to pick that thing apart and that statute apart, that bill, for years to come. But the thing that they will not be able to do is to be able to, whoever Obama picks, be able to get that person off the Supreme Court. So if there is one type of influence a president can have, like we talked about before, for years to come, it is who are they going to pick as Supreme Court judge? And we're going to talk about that a little later. And quite frankly, it's going to come close to home because, as we all know, there is one lady who is, he is thinking on his short list for this Supreme Court justice nomination. We'll get to that a little later. Hopefully going to be getting to one of our prosecutors in this county. Hopefully be able to talk to Kim Worthy, Wayne County prosecutor, about some of the things going on with Kwame, some of the things going on in Wayne County, and some of the good work that actually she is and her office is doing. And we'll get to one of the local judges that will give us an insight, hopefully, to what he thinks about what's going on with Supreme Court nominations and some of the things going on with our community. But I swear, there is one thing going on in our town that no one can get away from, and that is what is happening with our housing market and how bankruptcies affect housing in this state. And I really want to get to one of the top bankruptcy attorneys in town that is going to give us an insight to what we can do to try to protect ourselves, how we can try to really meander our way through the bankruptcy courts and trying to protect our homes. Because if there's one thing that we always want to try to keep is our houses and our income. And that is the hardest thing right now, not only in Detroit, not only in this Midwest area of Illinois and Michigan, but anywhere in the country, is how do we save our jobs? And if we aren't and we have less of an income, how are we going to save ourselves from the destruction that a bankruptcy court potentially can have, not only on your record, meaning your credit record, but also on all your assets? And is there ways, for instance, to actually meander our way through the bankruptcy system if you have to file bankruptcy and you have to protect yourself under the laws? How can we do it and come out either clean as a whistle or come out at least so that we can continue with keeping our house or keeping our income so that we can try to start again, try to basically come through clean and as a whistle, or at least as much as possible. So we'll be talking a little about that this morning and try to help you with anything else, any of the legal questions you have. If you have questions for us, just call us here at 1-800-7100-LAW. That's 1-800-7100-529. This is Scott Weinberg on the Law. We'll be right back.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and try to keep your record clean? Then you need the attorneys from Weinberg Law at 1-800-7100-LAW. And if you call right now, they can qualify you for a payment plan designed just for you. That's right, an affordable top criminal law firm. Call 1-800-7100-LAW. Stay out of jail, keep your record clean, and qualify for payment plans. Call now, 1-800-710-0529.
That's 1-800-7100-LAW.
The back of your closet, a box in the attic, shelves in your garage. All places to find old work boots and 25 bucks. Bucks for Boots is going on now at participating Red Wing shoe stores. Bring in any pair of old work boots and get 25 bucks off a new pair of regular price Red Wing boots. That's right, 25 bucks. Bucks for Boots, through April 25th only at participating Red Wing shoe stores. Find a store at redwingshoes.com.
This is the Nesquik Bunny with another tip on how to get to your happy place. Today's advice, follow your dreams. Lay down, close your eyes, drift off thinking how only in a dream could the delicious chocolatey joy of Nesquik be just 100 calories. Now pinch yourself, because 100-calorie Nesquik just made your dream come true. This has been the Nesquik Bunny, reminding you that happiness can be everlasting. All you need is a lifetime supply of 100-calorie Nesquik. Nestle Nesquik, come to your happy place.
Hey, when you got this job, you rolled over your old 401k into an IRA, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
How did you know what to do? Seems really complicated.
Nah, actually, it was really easy. All I did was look at the current market trends, historical data, and then chose the appropriate allocation of investments for my particular retirement plan. Like I said, it was really easy.
Really? That's what you did?
Yeah.
You didn't just follow your Fidelity guidance line? The line you're standing on right now, as we speak?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to put it simply, I guess you could say I just had Fidelity help me. That's one way to put it.
Want help rolling over an old 401k? Don't settle. Fidelity has the guidance and investments that can help you take control of your retirement. Call 1-800-FIDELITY or visit your local Fidelity Investor Center or visit us online at fidelity.com. Fidelity Investments. Turn here. Investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Whether you drive a 99 Neon or a 79 Pinto hatchback, brand new Chevy truck or an Olds Cutlass Supreme, you can have the best sound around. ABC is your hookup. ABC Warehouse. Want a bump harder than everyone else? ABC's got the loudest sub boxes and a speaker selection that's crazy nuts. Want the top brands? Pioneer, Kenwood, Sony, JVC, Infinity, Polk Audio? ABC's got them. Want to blast your iPod or your MP3 player in your car? Or step up to XM or Sirius Satellite or free HD radio? ABC can show you how. And if you want the absolute best deal, you know there's only one place. ABC Warehouse. For car audio, the hookup is easy. It's ABC.
At ABC Warehouse, they do cars, trucks, and boats. Installation is done on-site by factory-trained installers, and all work is backed by their lifetime installation guarantee. For the best deals in town, ABC Warehouse is the place. This week, all Rockford Fosgate power amps are on sale with prices starting at just $99. Get their sale ad online at abcwarehouse.com.
Time and money. Your Detroit-area Midas wants to save you both. Come in for an oil change, and we'll rotate your tires and visually check your brakes. All for just $24.99. That's an oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for just $24.99. Helping you save time and money. That's the Midas Touch.
Up to 5 quarts conventional oil, taxes and synthetics extra. Shop fees may apply. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
You're listening to Weinberg on the Law on AM 1270 WXYT. Here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Here we are with Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson is one of our foremost attorneys in town in the bankruptcy field. He's the owner and manager, director of Acclaim Legal Services. They've got offices actually all over in Warren, Southfield, Dearborn, and Flint. And just a little background on him. He's graduated from Detroit College of Law, practiced bankruptcy law really exclusively for 15 years, and now he manages a whole handful of attorneys. Probably done more than 7,000 bankruptcies in many years. Welcome to the show, Bill. How you doing?
Good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Bill, boy, I tell you, if there isn't one thing on people's mind in this state, let alone in this country, is how we get into a situation where we just can't seem to dig ourselves out, whether with creditors, or obviously we're upside down with our mortgages, and then, of course, people are now really going to the bankruptcy court as a final vestige to protect themselves. What's going on with our bankruptcy courts? Are they being fair with our consumers in the state, or are they taking advantage of us?
No, I think the bankruptcy courts are being extremely fair with people. I think there's a lot of advantages to, you know, using that system that a lot of people just aren't aware of or just, you know, don't even think to look at using.
Do you find now, Bill, that the stigma of bankruptcy is really different than it was several years ago, because the economy has just crashed so bad, people are so out of work, especially in Michigan, that the stigma that used to be there of, boy, I just don't want that on my credit is not there anymore?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much, it's really changed, even drastically in the past year. I have so many people that are coming to my office who are you know, professionals, who are attorneys, who are doctors. I mean, it's just with what's going on in the Michigan economy, it's just permeated itself through all professional fields. So there's people that are sitting across me who are, you know, legitimately saying, like, look, this is the absolute last place I ever thought I would be.
Explain to our listeners, how does it work? If you, let's say you do have a job, and say it's unique in this state that you actually still have your job. So you have your job. Let's say your wife is still working, but how can it's true that some of the times you can't qualify for a Chapter 7 in this to get rid of your case, to get rid of all your debt. Why don't you explain to our listeners the difference between qualifying for a 7 or having to go through a payoff on a Chapter 13?
Okay. Well, back in October of 2005, they did a major revamping of the bankruptcy laws. When they did that, a lot of people thought the Chapter 7 option had gone away. Well, it didn't. I mean, functionally, 7s and 13s are the same as they've always been. What's changed is, well, how do you determine, like your question, how do you determine what program someone should be
right
in? Well, they created what's known as a means test. And it's based upon total family income, you know, as compared to the size of the family, if you're married or if you're single, how many dependents you have. You know, for average, you know, like a single individual filer, the median income is right around $43,000 a year. So if you're a single person looking to file a bankruptcy, if you're making above that median income, there's a presumption you should be into a Chapter 13, which is the reorganization plan, meaning that you could probably pay something towards your creditors.
Bill, is it easier to, let me interrupt, because I know that our listeners are so interested in their houses. Is it easier to protect staying or keeping your house in a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13?
Well, if you're current on your mortgage, you could keep it, your home under a 7 or a 13, provided that if you're filing a Chapter 7, as long as you don't run into what's known as an equity problem, that you have an overabundance of equity in your home. If you own a home and it's worth $100,000 and you only owe $50,000 on it and you're a single filer, well, you've got $50,000 of equity that you wouldn't be able to totally protect under a Chapter 7. So, you know, a trustee may want to sell the house. But, you know, if you don't have a large equity problem and if you're current on the mortgage, you can keep it under a 7 or a 13. If you're behind on the mortgage, a 13 is the program that you would use to help set up payment terms to get yourself current and bring yourself back up to date on the mortgage.
Do you find that when you get a client that comes in, let's say that they do have some equity in the house and they want to protect it, but they obviously have a lot of the debts that the banks are willing to either renegotiate it or deal with these creditors to try and allow them to stay on the mortgage so they still get paid? Or are they just satisfied to say, forget it, go into bankruptcy?
In regards to the mortgage company's approach to this?
Right.
Or regards to, well, the mortgage companies always want to try to keep people in their homes, you know, if it's at all possible to do so. If we can either come to some terms through a Chapter 13 to get a current, like I said, I mean, you know, They'll want to do what they can if it's, you know, if it's at all possible.
One of the things that we've dealt with is with clients, and obviously it's not in the bankruptcy area, is they'll be involved with some type of issue with unemployment. So let's say that they're out of work, they're getting unemployment benefits, but they still have a lot of other debt. Are you able to deal with? Are people able to keep their unemployment even though they go bankrupt?
Yeah, sure.
How does that work with the means test? Do they include that in the means test in terms of trying to satisfy a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13?
Yes, and when they're looking at the means test, everything's based upon the last 6 months' average of your income from whatever sources that may be. One of the things they exclude out of the means test would be Social Security income, but that's still factored in. The means test, actually, it's a two-prong. They look at, like, last 6 months average of income. And then they also look at, if you have Social Security income, they'll still factor that in regards to how it relates to your individual budget. Okay. It's not only if you're above or below median income, they also look at if there's other income sources that may not be counted towards the means test, how that would impact your monthly budget if you have any available money left over to pay towards your creditors.
You know, I had a client recently that did file Chapter 13, and he had a job. And then during that Chapter 13, of course, lost his job. And then he didn't have any money to continue paying the trustee. And he wanted to switch it over and change it into Chapter 7. They wouldn't let him. Is it hard to change it from a Chapter 13 to a Chapter 7?
Not if it's because of a reduction in income. And sometimes, you just may have to wait a certain period of time. It may take a couple of months, if their income is trailing downward, in order to look at the overall six-month average. So sometimes if someone's lost their job and they've had that reduced income for a month, it may not be enough of a reduction that would impact their averaging of their income. So sometimes, you just may have to wait a couple months.
What's the average time someone actually has to pay back their creditors? How long do they usually have a Chapter 13 for?
Chapter 13 runs anywhere from 36 months, which is the minimum time period, up to 60 months, which is the maximum. If you're, using numbers before, if you're above the median income level and you're sort of forced into filing a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, well, then they'll typically want you to commit to a 60-month plan.
You know, I recently also had a client who he called me about it, and actually I'm going to refer him over to you because obviously you know what you're talking about with it. He was in a Chapter 13. So he's paying back his creditors or through the trustee, and he got a pretty substantial refund check. What happens with that? Do they have to give that over to the bankruptcy court, or do they get to keep that?
No, typically they're going to want income tax refunds paid into the bankruptcy court.
Oh, man, that's terrible. That's too bad.
Yeah, but, it's not an absolute. Sometimes people will go through circumstances that, if something should happen to their home, if all of a sudden, they've got a leaky roof or if a vehicle breaks down and they need to have some substantial repairs done to it, under certain circumstances, we can actually petition the court to let them keep a portion, if not all of their refund, in order to cover some unexpected expenses.
Do you find that the trustee, that basically the courts are reasonable about that, or is it sort of a job where they don't even look at the individual? If it's not going to fit, they're not going to deviate from what they want, or do they really look individually at every single case or every single client?
I found that they've been very reasonable about that, as long as it's a legitimate reason behind doing it. And if you have the right attorney that knows how to, set it up and approach the court and inform them properly, as long as the court's got the information they need to make that determination, they'll typically make the right call.
We're talking to Bill Johnson here from Acclaim Legal Services. He's one of the top bankruptcy attorneys in town. Bill, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about is, what are the numbers of bankruptcy now? Do you see them still going up, or are they sort of leveling off in this economy?
Well, I think what you're seeing is you're seeing more Chapter 7s are being filed. The Chapter 13s, which are the reorganizations, you're actually starting to see a decline in the number of reorganizations that are being filed. That's just because, the reorganization program, it's typically referred as a wage earners program. With what's going on in Michigan, a lot of people just aren't qualifying or they just don't have the income to be able to fund them.
So they're filing Chapter 7 and just trying to discharge all their debt.
Yes, and trying to get out from underneath it. So there's more 13s that are going on right now. I'm sorry, more 7s than there are 13s.
Well, Bill, thank you very much. You answered a lot of our questions. If anybody has any other questions, they can call Bill over at Acclaim Legal Services. I know that he'll take care of you, and quite frankly, we have any clients, it's exactly where we're going to refer our clients over to. Bill, thanks for a lot for joining us today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Scott.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now.
Well, I tell you, one of the things that we really have to be careful of in this economy is trying to protect our houses and our incomes. And that is just, it's one of the things that I see with clients all the time. They are laid off. They're collecting unemployment. They have another family member that might not be laid off, and they are trying to just save whatever they have. And invariably, you know what happens? Invariably, people will start doing other things in their life that, as a criminal lawyer, I see that we're trying to protect them on after they make other poor decisions. So, for instance, you know, they might have been working and now obviously they're out of work and they'll start drinking too much, or they'll start taking other types of illegal substances. And it's going to reflect in other areas of their life. Clearly, it'll affect their marriage. It'll affect their ability to take care of their kids. And we see this throughout our district court, especially with domestic violence and other types of assaults, other types of even just misdemeanors that are, it's sort of a trickle-down effect. You'll have someone who otherwise is being responsible, they're being practical, and then they lose their job, they start suffering more of a depressive state, they start drinking more, which of course just increases their need for, or their ability to say, all right, I need something outside of myself to help me. They start drinking. It affects them in terms of picking up other criminal charges. They'll get drunk driving, and that'll be a snowball effect going down. They'll get in a fight with their spouse. They'll get arrested for domestic violence. And it's all starting because they, at least in terms of our local community, things started a snowball rolling downhill, losing their job, losing their income, losing what they felt was their sense of self-worth. And what I'm curious about is what's going on at our local district courts, too. We have an occasion to have one of our local judges who's really, he's been around on the court for some time. He's one of our top, at least considered top judges in the area. And he joins us now, Judge Randy Kallenbach from the 27th District Court in Wyandotte. Judge, how are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, it's good to talk to you on the phone. We were talking, and we heard a little discussion about bankruptcy in our area, and I really wanted to push it towards the conversation of what is going on in our local communities. And obviously, I know that you're one of our minds in the area, and you have a real pulse on what's going on, especially here in Wyandotte and in the local community. That I see as a criminal lawyer, I see that people are losing their jobs and they're just really losing their sense of what's going on in their own family. And they tend to, and what I see is that there's so many more clients that are picking up drunk drivings and domestic violences. And I think it's coming down from a sense of they're just using more substances now that are creating more problems within their life. Have you seen it, at least in the district courts, that things have picked up and that there's more people charged with these substance abuse crimes?
Definitely, and a lot more young people, too, but it goes over the spectrum of all ages. And we're seeing, in fact, they've had some articles in the newspaper I've seen, increase in females getting substance abuse charges and drunk driving charges and impaired driving charges. Those are certainly on the increase.
And, you know, and Judge, I know that you always have a good program for people that, especially the first offenders, you really now try just to punish them. But I know, and I've dealt with it for years with your court, you really have a good probation department that helps people through it.
Thank you very much. We certainly do. We have a very good probation department that has a lot of programs that they've instituted, and it's working very well, in my opinion.
You know, one of the things that I like, and while my clients don't always enjoy being in the schools, I know you have a court-in-school program. And when you have a situation where especially someone like you can come in and direct a conversation directly to a teenager about drinking and driving or about some type of assaultive behavior, or even if it's a misdemeanor possession, something like with drug offenses, I know it makes a difference. And I had a daughter that just graduated high school. It really makes a difference when a judge can go into a school setting, not just as a lecture, but actually have the court held in that school setting. It really can make a difference. Can you tell us about your court and school program?
I'd be glad to. When I practiced law for 26 years before I got elected judge, and I thought if I ever became a judge, the key to me is education, education, education. Get out, try to convey to these young people the adverse consequences of these criminal offenses, and especially concerning alcohol and drugs. And I'm sure you know you see it in your clients, and I saw it in my clients, and I thought, these young people especially have to be aware of the risks that are out there. So fortunately, I was elected judge, and I said one of my promises was I would start a court in the schools campaign, which I did. And our court, 27 District Court, covers Wyandotte and now Riverview. So we have two cities. And I started our Court in the Schools and Critical Life Choices program, kind of copied it off of Oakland County judge. And I go out to the high schools, two public high schools and two middle schools every year. So I'm in the 12th year of doing that. And I've kind of kept a little track, and over 10,000 students have now seen the program, where we have people that have defendants who have volunteered to be sentenced at the Court in the Schools program on basically their alcohol, drug, domestic cases. And so that the young people can see that there are consequences to making bad decisions.
You know, it's interesting about that, Judge, because I've had clients over the years that have been in that program. And, you know, of course it's embarrassing when they're going in front of a whole community like that, especially if they live in the community. But invariably what I'll get is, and I know that you've seen it too, is that they'll feel like they can do something with their offense, meaning that they got charged, they have an opportunity to talk specifically to kids, and if they're really learning something from it, they'll address the kids right there and say, this is what's going on, this is what happens, I made a mistake, and don't get yourself involved with this, go get help, or go, you know, go obviously and not drink and drive after after some type of party. And it's, I really think it made a difference on several different one of my clients.
Well, I believe it certainly does, and I'm going to continue the program. In fact, I have two scheduled in May. We have our program keyed into the 8th graders at the middle school and the 11th graders at the high school. And we try to convey to them that, you know, these people that are there being sentenced are not necessarily bad people. They just made wrong decisions, bad decisions, and they have to realize there's consequences. And as you know, you get some of these convictions on your record, they can follow you a long, long way, and especially some of these drug convictions and this type of, can keep you from getting perhaps a job as a nurse, going into a lot of different fields, and, you know, try to tell them that to even apply for a job, today most people will drug test you, so you got to stay away from these drugs and these convictions, and cancel, you know, your insurance gets canceled. As I understand, then you go in a high-risk pool, you pay more money for car insurance. There's just all these things they should consider. And as I tell them, if our courtroom was big enough, we would invite them to see our court because we're open to the public, as you know. But since our courtroom isn't big enough, we'll go out and we'll have, you know, 300-400 students at one of these Court in the Schools and programs. And I'm going to keep the program up, but thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about that too, and I really think that that you do a good work out there in those Court and Schools program. I want to thank Judge Kallenbach for joining us. Thanks a lot, Judge.
Thank you very much.
One of the major things that that these local judges, a district court judge, can do is really influence what goes on in the local community with those type of programs. And I tell you, I really have seen that over the years, where you have a situation for a local official, either a judge or a prosecutor, local state rep, can go into the schools or go into the community and get our community going in terms of education. And that really is a major difference. What happens with the kids is education, or at least in the community, educating what goes on and things they wouldn't know about, either our courts or our prosecutor's office and how they prosecute or how they take care of things. And we're going to, after the break, get an opportunity to talk with hopefully Kim Worthy with the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office and be able to discuss little things with how she involves the community into her program. This is Scott Weinberg on Weinberg on Law, 1270 WXYT.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and try to keep your record clean? Then you need the attorneys from Weinberg Law at 1-800-7100-LAW. And if you call right now, they can qualify you for a payment plan designed just for you. That's right, an affordable top criminal law firm. Call 1-800-7100-LAW. Stay out of jail, keep your record clean, and qualify for payment plans. Call now, 1-800-710-0529. That's 1-800-7100-LAW.
Attention all you lawn jockey motorists. Hurry in to your nearest participating Napa Auto Parts store all April long for our big spring battery sale. Napa Lawn and Garden batteries are as low as $22.49 with exchange. Plus, save an additional $5 after mail-in rebate. That's real savings power on reliable battery power for your outdoor equipment.
Napa know-how.
Gentlemen, start your lawn tractor engines.
Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
This is the theme to Forever Lovers, the movie I wanted to see. This is the theme to Hillbilly Hamsters, a big hit with kids. I searched online. I couldn't find the showtimes. It was the only other movie playing. How bad could it be? Very, very bad.
Yahoo Search delivers movie trailers, reviews, showtimes, theater info, and more. All on one page, right at the top. Just what you need. Just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Yahoo!
AutoZone. April is National Car Care Month, so protect your engine and save big with your next oil change.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Hurry to AutoZone right now for huge savings when you buy a 5-plus quart oil change jug or 5 single quarts of Mobil Clean 5000 conventional motor oil and an STP filter for just $12.99. Don't miss your chance to save big. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Time and money. Your Detroit area Midas wants to save you both. Come in for an oil change and we'll rotate your tires and visually check your brakes. All for just $24.99. That's an oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for just $24.99. Helping you save time and money. That's the Midas touch.
Up to 5 quarts conventional oil, taxes and synthetics extra. Shop fees may apply. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
I am an Iranian-American attorney. I give counsel on everything from international relations to financial transactions, all while working with colleagues from a variety of professions and cultural backgrounds. And I protect my nation.
As an electrical engineer, I design and deploy cutting-edge technology, and I protect my nation.
In my job, I work with everyone from scientists to economists. I analyze data and global events that keep senior-level executives highly informed, and I protect my nation.
I work for the CIA.
I work for the CIA.
I work for the CIA.
There are many career opportunities and countless ways to serve your nation at the Central Intelligence Agency. From analytical assessment to language instruction, technological development to clandestine service. For more information and to apply, visit CIA.gov. The Central Intelligence Agency. The work of a nation. The center of intelligence. Equal opportunity employer.
This is the theme to Forever Lovers, the movie I wanted to see. This is the theme to Hillbilly Hamsters, a big hit with kids. I searched online. I couldn't find the showtimes. It was the only other movie playing. How bad could it be? Very, very bad.
Yahoo Search delivers movie trailers, reviews, showtimes, theater info, and more. All on one page, right at the top. Just what you need. Just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Yahoo!
Attention all you lawn jockey motorists. Hurry in to your nearest participating Napa Auto Parts store all April long for our big spring battery sale. Napa Lawn and Garden batteries are as low as $22.49 with exchange. Plus, save an additional $5 after mail-in rebate. That's real savings power on reliable battery power for your outdoor equipment.
Napa know-how.
Gentlemen, start your lawn tractor engines.
Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You're listening to Weinberg on the Law on AM 1270 WXYT. Here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Welcome back. One of the things going on in Metro Detroit, of course, over the last couple of years is the dilemma we've had in what to do with now our former mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick. And, when you actually look at the case, and as a criminal defense attorney, the way I look at a case is what as a defense attorney can you do to protect the interests of your client, and what is the prosecutor's office doing to try and convict them? And in this case, of course, you had a situation where our former mayor was pled and convicted of offenses and really had a lot that happened on his record that doesn't usually happen. I mean, he basically obviously lost his job, lost his license to practice. He, in this case, had a significant amount of restitution that had to be paid back to the city. And we really have situations where whether you agree with it or not, you have a prosecutor's office that I think did a fair job in prosecuting a case like this. You have a judge who's caught in between what he wants to be able to do that's fair, not only to the rights of the defendant, because just because you have a situation where you plead guilty or are convicted, you still have obviously rights, and also the rights of the city to be able to, as quote, victims in a case, be able to collect back money on a restitution order. And one of the things that we want to do is bring involved here with our elected prosecutor, Kim Worthy. Kim Worthy is going to be joining us. She obviously is the Wayne County prosecutor. She graduated from University of Michigan. Go Blue. Thank you very much. And she went to, I got her law degree from University of Notre Dame. One of my best friends graduated Notre Dame. It's a great school. But she's our elected prosecutor here in Wayne County and really does a great job. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
One of the things that I don't want to get into, and I know that you talk a lot about, and your office talk a lot about, whether or not we really should try to do a either better job with getting restitution from any kind of type of criminal case.
Yeah, that's always a struggle. Yeah.
But in this specific case, because it's so big, and it's such a big restitution order. Was there ever any real expectation that whether it's Kwame Kilpatrick or any other, say, large business that owes money to the city through a restitution order like that will ever really collect that kind of money?
Yes, we have a real expectation. And a lot of people wondered why, when he pled guilty, why we were only asking for $1 million and not $8.4 million. And that's precisely why, because we thought, and we still feel, that he's going to be able to pay that amount of money. We think he has it. We think he has access to it. And we also think that it's going to be paid, and we think the judge is on the same page. So, yes, we haven't. That's why it was $1 million as opposed to the $8.4, because we feel that there's a realistic expectation that it'll all be paid.
Well, Judge Groner, obviously Judge Groner always had a good good tenant for the court. I think he's a real fair judge. He goes back and forth. You know, and sometimes with judges, you never whether they're going to rule the prosecutor as a defense attorney, prosecution's way, or for your client, as long as they reasonably consider every avenue, they're not just a knee-jerk reaction, a judge is going to do what a judge is going to do. And you knew that, too, when you were
right,
a judge.
Right, of course, yeah.
And in this case, though, especially in restitution orders, aren't there income withholding orders that the court can enforce in terms of how they're going to collect money from his wages or any type of commission that he's going to be earning?
Right. Well, it's already in the court order that we will collect a certain percentage of any commission that he gets. And I think that everybody knows by now that even though he's been working there for, almost a year and a half, he has made no commissions. And so, yes, but we can seize those as well. Now, as far as being able to withhold or garnishee, and a lot of people have asked us that question, we can't do that until there has been a demonstrated showing that he can pay and won't pay. And that's the process we're going through right now.
Is it a situation where your office has asked for jail time in increments? Let's say, for instance, listen, he has proven that he is playing games with the court. We want judge put him in jail for, let's say, another 10 days or 2 weeks. Let him back out if he does it again, and graduate that type of penalty with it.
Well, I'm not going to say at this time exactly what we'll be asking for, but you're an attorney. Your mind is on the pretty much the right track. But we are not going to be as generous, I don't think, as what you just suggested. So we have to wait and see what the judge is going to do. But we do have a position which we will be revealing in court on the 20th.
One of the other things I wanted to talk about, and I don't know if you heard, we just had Judge Kalmbach on the phone regarding his court in schools program. And I really am interested in one of your other programs you have is the Citizens Academy.
Yes.
And that, it just seems like such a worthwhile type of organization and program. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes, that's one of our favorite things to do. And what we are trying to do is demystify the criminal justice system for the everyday citizen from the prosecutorial perspective. We have a lot of people who watch Law and Order and CSI and all these fanciful shows, as you know, that are just kind of what I call Hollywooded up. Hmm. It's not real. It's not realistic. You cannot take a fingerprint off of a glass and put it on another glass, and you cannot do all kinds of things that you may see on CSI. So because these citizens are our jurors, we wanted to make sure that they understand what the realistic expectations are. And we have the medical examiner come in during this program. We have a judge come in, a law enforcement personnel. We'll be adding actually a defense attorney to our program in our next program. And what we do is we basically explain in layman's terms the criminal justice system, how it works. And then we go into more detail and we explain how we prosecute a homicide case, how we prosecute an elder abuse case, how we prosecute a child abuse case. And we have our fourth Citizens Academy is starting this coming Tuesday from 6 to 9 at Grosse Pointe South High School. We've moved all around the county, and this time we are in Grosse Pointe at Grosse Pointe South. They've been very, very good hospitality there and treated us very well. It is such a hit that we are going to do it until people are no longer interested. In fact, people want us to give like a Citizens Academy 2 and go into further detail. It's free. It's no cost to the taxpayers either, because the lawyers who are part of the presentation do it on their own spare time in the evening. So we love this program. People seem to like it, and we're very proud to do it.
Well, it sounds like a good program. And, you know, I one of the things that I've always seen practicing for over 20 years now as a criminal defense attorney is the lack of information that just a regular citizen has on how the court and the prosecutor's office works. They have in their mind exactly what you were saying, that it's all about what happens on TV. And it just isn't like that. Things don't happen in that time frame.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we even talk about the importance of jury service and why that's so critical to the system. We talk about the importance of each player in the criminal justice system and what they do. And then we talk about, like I said, actual cases that have already been adjudicated, and give some examples, some practical examples. So, if people like this kind of thing, if they like crime drama or these TV shows, or they're interested about the law or their civic duty, we cover all of that. And we like doing it. People come away being very, very interested in following through sometimes. And one of our weeks, or I think it's our fifth week, we bring in witnesses that have testified in actual trials that have gone above and beyond, and we honor them in an award ceremony in front of the citizens as well.
Yeah, we're talking to Kim Worthy, the Wayne County prosecutor. You know, Kim, I'd be remiss if I didn't get your take on what's going on with the Supreme Court, where Justice Stevens is retiring, and President Obama is going to have an opportunity to appoint another justice. Obviously, he appointed one justice, a female, already. What do you think is going to happen in this next one? You think our Governor Granholm's got a chance at it?
Well, based on nothing, speculation on my part, and I have looked at the bios of all the people that they're talking about, I think it's going to be a male. I do not think there's going to be two appointments of two women in a row.
I agree.
That's the first thing. I could be wrong. And there's never been an Asian on the Supreme Court. And I know at least one of the candidates is a very prominent Asian American, so that might be the pick as well. But there are a lot of good people on the list that I've seen, and who knows, there may be many people that have not been on everybody's speculation list that they may consider. But I just don't think it's going to be another woman this time.
Kim, do you think that, and I know obviously you were a judge before and now you're a prosecutor again, do you feel that to be a Supreme Court judge, and I was just talking about this with my producer, that you should first be a judge, or should you be able to come from an executive position, like even a solicitor general, or, you know, let's say a legal advisor in the State Department like this Harold Coe? Do you feel that you should be a judge first?
What a great question. And that's, you know, that's been the debate in legal circles, as you know, for many, many years. I personally think it's more advantageous if a person has sat on, been a judge in some kind of a trial court, or at least have been a practitioner and tried cases. Because one of the problems for a very long time, until Diane Hathaway got to the Supreme Court here in Michigan, you know, like her or don't like her, but she at least was a trial judge and had practical experience. And believe it or not, we had not had any judge that had been a judge in the trial court before she came.
Right.
And I think it's I think that has shown in some of the opinions we've seen. And so while I don't think it's a necessary deal breaker, I think it's nice if a person does have trial experience, either they've done as a practitioner or they've been a judge. But, you know, we don't want to count out our Elena Kagans, who's a brilliant, brilliant woman. I think she's a current dean of, is it Harvard, I think, law school?
She's the U.S. Solicitor General.
And I know she was a friend of the president. I mean, she's a brilliant woman, and she has never been on the bench. So you would hate to cut people out, absolutely. But I think it really, really helps if you've actually smelled the grease paint and heard the roar of the crowd in the courtroom being a practitioner.
Well, I absolutely agree, and I think that you need to have experienced people on both sides of whether you're a practitioner or as a judge to be a Supreme Court judge. We appreciate you joining us here. I know that you're off to Washington, so maybe you're going to be getting that spot for us.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim. We're joined here by Kim Worthy, Wayne County Prosecutor, and hopefully have you back. One of the major issues that we have to deal with any type of a law in this state is having a prosecutor's office that at least prosecutes fairly, and I think Kim Worthy's office does that well. One of the issues, though, of course, is trying to get the Kwame to fulfill that plea. But I swear, I don't know how we're going to do that. We're joined with one of our callers, Lisa, on the line. Lisa, what do you got to say about that?
I just wanted to say that one of the issues that bothers me about Kwame Kilpatrick and him complaining about the amount of restitution that he has to pay is that it's my understanding that it was a plea agreement. So it's not as if the court imposed a sentence on him. He agreed to pay that amount of money, and he agreed to spend a certain amount of time in jail. So, you know, I'm still at a loss to understand why he acts like it's unfair or improper, or that it's some kind of overreaching by the court.
Well, let me ask you a question about that. Do you feel, and I brought this up with Kim Worthy, and I don't know if she gave a real clear answer to that. Maybe she's still considering it, but do you feel that they should put him in incremental times in jail? For instance, another 10 days, let him out, come up with another 50 grand. If he doesn't do it again, another 2 weeks. Do you think that would make a difference with it?
I think it would, but I still struggle with, you know, I still think, even though I don't like him, obviously, I think that they should do what they would do to any other person. I don't think that they should go to any greater extreme with him than they would with anyone else. But I do think that, given that it was a plea agreement, I think that he probably never intended to pay the amount of money back, but the restitution dollar amount was larger, maybe because the actual time in jail was smaller.
Well, let me ask a question about that.
Or had ever intended to pay it back, he probably would have had a lower dollar amount in exchange for a higher incarceration amount of time.
So if you had a choice that you know you weren't going to get another dime from him, but you get, let's say, another year in jail, okay, or a total year in jail, or you knew that you were going to get money from him and he'd be able to get off probation and not have to worry about anything, but you get the rest of the money back, what would you rather have?
I'd rather get the money.
Right. Well, and
because
like,
it costs more money to keep him in jail. So I guess he's been punished.
Lost his license of practice.
Get be done with him, basically.
Right. And isn't that really the case? We're just dragging this thing out for so long now. It is going on for what? Almost 2 years now, right? That we're trying to get money from him. And, you know, some judges would have just said, forget it. What are we doing? Let's just put him behind bars. Let's just forget about this. But I think that's really what Judge Groner wants to do, and I really think that's what Kim Worthy's office wants to do too. They want to be able to get as much money as possible. They can have him on probation for 5 years, so they got a lot of a lot more time to play with on it, but they want to get as much out of it as possible. She knew that she was never going to get $8 million. I mean, she could barely get what we're trying to get now, which is up to $1 million. There's no way we'd get eight times that. So let's pick a number that it might be reasonable to get, that he might be able to get his rich friends to be able to give up money towards it, whether it's in a commission or whether it's an income, and then we'll be able to try to get as much and have as much held over his head as possible, because they really have another 3 years to stick him in jail, or quite frankly, to put him in prison. And you know, it costs like $45,000 a year just to keep a prisoner. So if you add that up, nobody wants this. I don't want this guy in prison, really. I want him to be able to pay and to be able to make amends on what's going on with the case, at least with restitation.
Feel like he always wins, you know. He says that he's going to do something, and then he doesn't, and then we look stupid because we're not enforcing it, and it just all starts, you know, it all becomes kind of dumb. It started out bad.
Well, thanks for joining us, Lisa. One of the issues, of course, on trying to get any kind of restitution from a client is always an issue regarding, as a criminal defense attorney, trying to protect your client's rights, trying to say, okay, listen, he already took responsibility, he doesn't have the money to pay back, and then a prosecutor and judge saying, wait a second, we're going to look into his little specifics of how much he's earning, how much he's spending, who else has given him money. And I'm telling you right now, you guys don't believe it, but I'm telling you, it is very rare to bring someone back to court as many times as Kwame Kirkpatrick has come back, and to be able to walk out without having some type of incarceration if it's shown that he really does have the money and he's just playing games. So, you know, Judge Groner is a good guy. He's I think, making a proper decision on what he's trying to do. But by the end, you have to have an ability to pay, or you have to have a reason why you're not. And I don't see where Kwame has shown either. One of the issues here is trying to get a proper perspective of our local laws and our local judges. And I think those judges and prosecutors from joining us. We're going to take a break. This is Weinberg on the Law on 1270 WXYT.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and try to keep your record clean? Then you need the attorneys from Weinberg Law at 1-800-7100-LAW. And if you call right now, they can qualify you for a payment plan designed just for you. That's right, an affordable top criminal law firm. Call 1-800-7100-LAW. Stay out of jail, keep your record clean, and qualify for payment plans. Call now, 1-800-710-0529. That's 1-800-7100-LAW.
The back of your closet, a box in the attic, shelves in your garage. All places to find old work boots. And $25. Bucks for Boots is going on now at participating Red Wing shoe stores. Bring in any pair of old work boots and get $25 off a new pair of regular price Red Wing boots. That's right, $25. Bucks for Boots, through April 25th only at participating Red Wing shoe stores. Find a store at redwingshoes.com.
This is the Nesquik Bunny with another tip on how to get to your happy place. Today's advice, follow your dreams. Lay down, close your eyes, drift off thinking how only in a dream could the delicious chocolatey joy of Nesquik be just 100 calories. Now pinch yourself, because 100-calorie Nesquik just made your dream come true. This has been the Nesquik Bunny, reminding you that happiness can be everlasting. All you need is a lifetime supply of 100-calorie Nesquik. Nestle Nesquik, come to your happy place.
Hey, when you got this job, you rolled over your old 401k into an IRA, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
How did you know what to do? Seems really complicated.
Nah, actually, it was really easy. All I did was look at the current market trends, historical data, and then chose the appropriate allocation of investments for my particular retirement plan. Like I said, it was really easy.
Really? That's what you did?
Yeah.
You didn't just follow your Fidelity guidance line? The line you're standing on right now, as we speak?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to put it simply, I guess you could say I just had Fidelity help me. That's one way to put it.
Want help rolling over an old 401k? Don't settle.
Fidelity has the guidance and investments that can help you take control of your retirement. Call 1-800-FIDELITY or visit your local Fidelity Investor Center or visit us online at fidelity.com. Fidelity Investments. Turn here. Investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Whether you drive a 99 Neon or a 79 Pinto hatchback, brand new Chevy truck or an old Cutlass Supreme, you can have the best sound around. ABC is your hookup. ABC Warehouse. Want to bump harder than everyone else? ABC's got the loudest sub boxes and a speaker selection that's crazy nuts. Want the top brands? Pioneer, Kenwood, Sony, JVC, Infinity, Polk Audio? ABC's got them. Want to blast your iPod or your MP3 player in your car? Or step up to XM or Sirius Satellite or free HD radio? ABC can show you how. And if you want the absolute best deal, you know there's only one place, ABC Warehouse. For car audio, the hookup is easy. It's ABC.
At ABC Warehouse, they do cars, trucks, and boats. Installation is done on-site by factory-trained installers, and all work is backed by their lifetime installation guarantee. For the best deals in town, ABC Warehouse is the place. This week, all Rockford Fosgate power amps are on sale with prices starting at just $99. Get their sale ad online at abcwarehouse.com.
Time and money. Your Detroit area Midas wants to save you both. Come in for an oil change, and we'll rotate your tires and visually check your brakes. All for just $24.99. That's an oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for just $24.99. Helping you save time and money. That's the Midas Touch.
Up to 5 quarts conventional oil, taxes and synthetics extra. Shop fees may apply. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
You're listening to Weinberg on the Law on AM 1270 WXYT. Here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Welcome back. We were talking with Kim Worthy from the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office. You know, she mentioned something that is really interesting, and Ben and I were talking about that here, is that do we feel that Obama is going to appoint another woman on the Supreme Court? And I, quite frankly, I agree, and Ben, I know that you do too, that I do not think that they're going to have another woman. What do you think?
I'd have to agree with you on that one.
You know, one of the issues here, and whether you're 24 or 44 or 64 or 84, you see throughout your career that in your life that there are all different kinds of Supreme Court justices that make different decisions in your that affect you. Whether it's back in 2000 when they voted to have President Bush be the president instead of Gore, or whether it's that we believe that the Board of Education should allow people to come into our schools that they normally would not have allowed. So you have a situation where you don't know what a justice is going to be like until they are in and until they are voting and until they are interviewing different lawyers and until they are questioning them and then write their opinions. But I don't believe that this is a situation where it used to be where we just don't know what these people are going to say as much. They vet them so much. They have a situation where they now go through everything possible. And I really don't believe that that we're going to have less information about the next justice. We'll have more information. What do you think, Ben?
Well, I'm sorry, repeat that again for me.
Well, the issue, of course, is do we have less information or more information? And I think we really have more information about them. And I don't believe, and I especially believe we're going to know more, for instance, if they're going to have an interest in a right to abortion or a right to have more states or less states' rights.
Right, yeah. I mean, you can definitely now with the internet totally get any information that you want regarding a certain individual, and I think that'll help with the cause if you're really interested in finding out, you know, such things as abortion, because that's going to be a hot issue even with this new healthcare bill.
Well, one of the things that we like to talk about here is bringing in some interest of the day. So I hope that I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. But I can tell you right now, one of the things I want to do here is talk about some of the real extreme ideas that some of these justices have, because next time we're going to be talking about why we think Obama might be putting in a liberal judge. Do we really feel that he's going to be someone that wants to make his legacy a liberal legacy, or someone who's going to be more middle of the road? And obviously people are going to feel, because he's a Democrat and he's the first minority president, perhaps he's always going to want to have minority type of justice. But I don't believe that's always the case. One of the things we'll do is welcome you to the show next week. We'll be talking about, hopefully, the Catholic Church and the Pope. Thank you on 1270 WXYT.